Newcastle United have enjoyed a standout night. A first Champions League home game in two decades ends in a 4-1 win over the mighty Paris Saint-Germain. Elsewhere, Atletico and Shakhtar won 3-2 thrillers. Julian Alvarez scores an absolute beauty for Manchester City, while Lazio leave it late as Pedro rolls back the years. So much drama on match day two Wednesday. Let's get into it and review the night's action in the UEFA Champions League. I'm Rob Daly and I'm joined by the former Tottenham Hotspur captain, Jenna Scalacci, as well as Matchday Live commentators Mike Sewell and Richard Connolly. But Jenna, to you first. Newcastle are up and running with that first win back in the Champions League.
Yeah, and boy, did they deserve it. They're by far the better team on the night. They everything, first ball, second ball, their energy, their press, their defending, everything was spot on. I thought towards the end, the last 20 minutes, they had to suffer a lot. They had to soak up a bit of pressure when Paris did start to move the ball quicker, that the movement up top was a bit more fluid, so they had different challenges to think about, but they still defended so, so well without the ball. They forced Paris to have shots from outside the box. They forced Paris wide and they dealt with everything that came into the box. They were fantastic for the whole 90 minutes plus added time.
The players out on the pitch still doing a lap of honour after this victory and a famous one at St James's Park. Here are how all the games finished on match day two Wednesday. In Group E, Atletico 3, Feyenoord 2, Celtic 1, Lazio 2. Group F, Borussia Dortmund 0, AC Milan 0. Group G, RB Leipzig 1, Manchester City 3, Svena Zvezda 2, Young Boys 2, and in Group H, Antwerp 2, Shakhtar 3, Porto 0, Barcelona 1. But we've got to start with a massive night in the northeast of England. The Champions League returning to Tyneside as Newcastle hosted Paris Saint-Germain, and Mike and Jenna were watching for us.
Isak's shot is safe. The rebound is tucked away by Miguel Almirón. 17th minute of the game. He launches himself into the Newcastle fans because it's they who take the lead. It's absolute bedlam at St James's Park. Bruno Guimaraes' shot is saved at the near post. Sent to the back post. Donnarumma saves it, but it looked like it may have crossed the line. Newcastle players say it's a goal. The referee is stopping play. VAR, it's a goal. Newcastle lead by 2-0. And Dan Byrne opens his arms wide. His long stuff in the area. Oh, he scored! Donnarumma hasn't been able to keep it out. And Newcastle United, as the clock ticks round to 50 minutes, lead Paris Saint-Germain by 3-0. Zaire Emery over the top. Hernandez is in. And Lucas Hernandez has headed the ball beyond Nick Pope, who hesitated, and they've been punished. Lucas Hernandez with the goal. Newcastle 3, Paris 1. Lays it off, edge of the area, shot from Schär! Whoa! What a way to finish the game! Fabian Schär with a fantastic rising shot beyond the reach of Donnarumma. The perfect night with the perfect ending. Newcastle 4, Paris Saint-Germain 1.
Yes, some way to finish the match. Fabian Schär, the player of the match, and memories of the 1997 3-2 win at St James's Park over Barcelona. This will go in that category, surely, Mike.
Oh, absolutely. We saw a shot of Alan Shearer at the end, and he looked like his emotions had been drained during the course of the game, because he was probably, for him, watching on, having been in that position back in the 90s and the early noughties when they last played in the UEFA Champions League, he knows what it means to the club. He knows what it means to be on the pitch. And it was just fantastic. You mentioned their Shearer's performance. I have to mention for Jamal Lascelles, who hasn't played much this season and has come in, played against Burnley at the weekend, kept a clean sheet, and he was exceptional at the back tonight for Newcastle United. All round, they were, like you said, Jenna, they had to soak up a bit of pressure once Hernandez got the goal for Paris.
but they defended really well. They did exactly what Eddie Howe said. He wanted them to defend well in their units, nullify the space to deny the likes of Mbappe, and they did that. Kylian Mbappe didn't get much joy at all.
Yeah, I mean, the units, I spoke about it quite a bit during commentary, the blocks, the banks that they defended in, every single player knew their task on the day. And it wasn't until the second half, early stages of the second half, that you actually saw Mbappe dropping in to come and affect the play, to come and receive the ball, because he just wasn't getting the service in the first half. But after about 5 minutes of that, he fizzled out again, and the blocks remained, and they were just solid. They were just, if the ball was switched out, the bank shuffled across, there was just no way through them. So they were forced to shoot from outside the box, and they were forced crosses into the box, which were dealt with by the two centre-backs that we've just mentioned, who were fantastic, but the pair of them were colossal at the back. And even in dying stages, when Mbappe did break into the box, or Dembele did break into the box, the amount of bodies that swarmed them, the desire to get back and retain the ball, to get rid of the danger, you could feel it. They were just so up for it, every single Newcastle player.
They were able to sustain that. I mean, the first half, they were literally pressing for the entirety of that first half.
You were wondering, weren't you, on commentary, whether can they keep this going?
And obviously they could. It went off a little bit during that period of Paris play where they played a little bit better, but they were still able to do it towards the end of the game when it mattered most. Just looking back, Eddie Howe was appointed on the 8th of November in 2021, just under 2 years ago. At this point 2 years ago, those fans were so downbeat about what was happening at their club. I bet they just cannot believe the transformation in 24 months.
Well, I think you saw it on Alan Shearer's face there, didn't you? He looked emotional. He looks exhausted. But, I mean, what a turnaround. It's unbelievable. And I think if you were to say to Eddie Howe at the beginning of this match, they'd won this game 4-1 up.
And they're top of Group F.
Top of Group F.
Ahead of Paris Saint-Germain, Borussia Dortmund.
It's incredible. But I think it goes back to, you can have all the talent in the world in your squad, but tonight we saw one team that wanted it a lot more. Every single player were working defensively, attacking. When they were counter-attacking, they were getting numbers forward.
Yeah, and they showed it, didn't they? I mean, there was that relentless energy, and they really feel like a team that are so connected with the crowd that when the crowd are fired up, I mean, there was a moment where Anthony Gordon conceded a goal kick and it was met like a goal. I mean, everyone was just so up for it. And I think you made the point at one point in commentary, Mike, he was trying to G the crowd up. It was like, you don't need to, everyone's already completely
already
frenzied here.
Yeah.
Well, I've been to St. James's Park once, and it was a bad time for me as a Spurs fan. It's the last game of the season. I think we got beaten about 6-5-1. The atmosphere, I mean, I couldn't help but enjoy it because it was just madness in there. and I was on the losing team that day, but yeah, it's an incredible stadium, and you know, the fans deserve a night like tonight, and I think there'll be many more to come.
I think there's no doubt this is a Paris Saint-Germain team in transition. Neymar, Messi leaving, they've signed Colo Muani, lots of young players in there, but still a lot of talent. So, Jenna, from a tactical point of view, what did Newcastle do to just make this such a difficult game on the night for Paris Saint-Germain?
They frustrated them. I think they won the battles in every area. I think defensively they won the battle. I think the midfield three were fantastic. I think Longstaff was brilliant, you know, defensively and attacking. I thought Tonali, I think it was a clever replacement for Anderson, just using that, his experience on big game nights like in Champions League. I thought Anderson, when he came on, he made an impact as well. That energy he brought on when legs were tiring, saw his first impact was, you know, dribbling past three Paris defenders and nearly getting his shot off. So I think it's what you've said. It was a whole team performance. They frustrated Paris and they just couldn't break them down.
I tell you what, when Dortmund come off the pitch and have a look at the result tonight, they're going to take notice of Newcastle because they've got to go there next.
Yeah, that's right.
And they haven't scored yet.
They haven't, and neither have AC Milan, actually, because the two teams in Germany tonight have played out a goalless draw. There were chances. Christian Pulisic, formerly of Dortmund, playing for Milan, had a chance in the second half to hurt his former side. But right now, Dortmund and Milan are waiting for their first wins in this group. Newcastle atop of the section. And how about these games for match day three? We have AC Milan away at Paris Saint-Germain, and we have Borussia Dortmund, a stadium famous for its own atmosphere. They're going to Newcastle. They're coming back here in 3 weeks.
Yeah, well, that's going to be fat. After this result, that is going to be incredible. Yeah.
And Newcastle were pot four, weren't they? The fourth seeds in that group.
And Luis Enrique said this week, he said when the draw was made, Newcastle were the last team they wanted to face.
And I think we've seen tonight.
And that's why.
We've seen tonight why. Okay, let's move on to Group E. And one of the night's early kickoffs, Feyenoord travelled to the Spanish capital, looking to continue their bright start to the competition. Standing in their way, Atletico Madrid.
See what Timber can do here. Peschau to the left-hand side. Ueda has made a run inside the penalty area. Ricochets in. Unbelievable. What a start. Morata tries to get in here and plants it into the corner. Atleti a level. Well, he was the first to react inside the penalty area. Staines is going to curl it in. It is good delivery. Fine stop from Oblak and forced over. Hanschko. First of all, his header was brilliantly saved by Oblak, but as Oblak was on the turf, the centre-half followed up to put Feyenoord in front once again. Gets the shot in, takes the deflection, Witzel is there, so he's Griezmann with the overhead! 2-2! The last kick potentially of this first half. A typical goal from Antoine Griezmann. The overhead, the acrobatic, brilliant technique. Big opportunity taken. Morata slides in. And it's Atleti that lead by 3-2. They are in front for the first time in this fixture. Feyenoord switch off. Morata at the double. Atletico have 3. And the Estadio Metropolitano erupts once again.
And it did stay 3-2. Feyenoord applied some real pressure in the closing stages, but could not get that equaliser to build on their match day one win over Celtic. The player of the match was Alvaro Morata after his 2 goals, and he recognised how much the Rojiblancos had to battle.
Champions League game. They play with spirit, with honour, and we always do the same. And we take the 3 points in a very tough game. They fight a lot, we fight a lot, and at the end we are very happy because we need to take these 3 points tonight here.
Yeah, so Morata on fire in the Champions League again. By the way, you've got to find the highlights of that game and see that Antoine Griezmann finish for yourself. A very clever, improvised, kind of half overhead kick thing. Brilliant, brilliant goal to make it 2-2 just before half-time. The other game in that group was played out between Celtic and Lazio in the late kickoffs. Celtic going ahead. Furuhashi with a brilliant finish after a lovely move. He was played into the box by Matthew O'Reilly and he coolly slotted it past the keeper. From a corner, Matias Fassinho equalised for Lazio just before the half hour. And Celtic actually thought they'd won it when Luis Palma fired in a low drive near post after meeting a cross from the right side, having hung around the left side of the penalty area. But he was offside. There was a flick off a Celtic player. He was off. And then what, in the 6th, 7th minute of added time, I think it was, Pedro, multiple-time Champions League winner, Lazio veteran now, headed in the winning goal after a delightful back post cross from Matteo Guendouzi. And remember, Lazio, through their goalkeeper, scoring on match day one, scored a late decisive goal. They have done it again, this time to win in Glasgow. So the group now, Group E, looks like this. Atleti and Lazio both on 4 points. Feyenoord on 3. Celtic still desperate for that first Champions League win in a long time. Feyenoord host Lazio in Rotterdam in roughly 3 weeks. Atletico go to Celtic next in the competition. Okay, still to come, we'll look at Wednesday's other 4 matches in the UEFA Champions League.
Take UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Okay, next to another cracking atmosphere at the Estadio Dragão in Group H. Porto hosted Barcelona and Richard Connolly was watching.
Don't know one, threads a pass through the centre. It's Ferran for Barcelona, and there's the opening goal. A minute into stoppage time at the end of the first half. Porto had it, they lost it, and Barcelona were good enough to punish them. Ferran Torres, the substitute for Lewandowski. It's Porto 0, Barcelona 1.
OK, let's speak to Richard Connolly, who was on this game for us. And Richard, that moment just before half-time, the decisive one.
Yeah, it absolutely was. I mean, a momentary lapse in concentration by Porto, but Gundogan, he's so clever, immediately spotted the run of Ferran Torres in front of him, threaded the pass beautifully, and the finish was tremendously composed underneath Diogo Costa. It came in first half stoppage time, and it was the difference between the two teams. That said, in the wide picture, there was little between them, really. Porto were the better side in the second half, created chances, might have had a penalty at one point. It went to a VAR check where the referees reviewed that a handball they'd initially given actually was supposed to go the other way, so Porto were denied that chance. There was one Taremi effort which was fractionally offside. But Barcelona will certainly point to the positives. They're still unbeaten this season. A 100th game in charge for Xavi. And here is evidence of progress. You know, the last two seasons, neither have they been able to reach the knockout phase. But here they are, 6 points out of six, two clean sheets from their opening two games. And clean sheets have very much been, you know, what they do under Xavi. 16 in the league last season. So a lot has Barcelona moving in the right direction here.
Yeah, they only got 7 points in the group stage last season. And admittedly, they were in a tough section, weren't they, with Bayern and Inter. But you were talking in our pre-match show, Richard, about the development of this team under Xavi in that time of 100 games. And was there a maturity about them, despite the fact that, you know, they lost Lewandowski to injury in the first half, to hold Porto and win the game away from home?
That's an interesting word, maturity, because you were just mentioning the youngest starter ever in the UEFA Champions League at just over 16 years of age. And they also began with Alejandro Balde, the 19-year-old at left back, and of course Gavi, the other 19-year-old in midfield. And maybe the one little bit of evidence of immaturity was the second yellow card that he picked up in stoppage time at the end of the game, which will mean a one-game suspension for match day three. But he was otherwise excellent in the midfield today. And in addition to these superstar young talents, they have tremendous experience moulded around them. Players like Gundogan, who's been there and done it. Lewandowski, who came off injured today, but he's been there and done it. João Cancelo's come in and was an excellent presence down the right-hand side. Jules Koundé is younger, but at 24, what a game he had at the back. One goal-saving challenge midway through the second half to deny Pepe was a real stellar moment. They've got the quality in goal of Marc-Andre ter Stegen as well. So you can really see how this team is being shaped and how these young guys with the tremendous ability that they've got have got some terrific mature characters around them to help mould this team as it moves forward, not just through this season but into the future.
Yet Lamine Yamal, the youngest player to start a Champions League match at 16 years and 83 days, just signed a new contract with the club as well. And Koundé, a seasoned vet at this point at 24, Richard. But on Porto, I mean, they did threaten the Barcelona goal and they won their opening game in the section away to Shakhtar. Do you think Sergio Conte will have seen enough in that performance to think, no, we'll be the team that will progress with Barcelona from this group?
Yeah, undoubtedly so. And if you go back 12 months, match day two at home to Club Brugge, and they ended up losing by 4-0. A really stellar surprise result. At that point, they had 0 points from the first two rounds, won the next four matches in a row, and were not that far off beating Inter in the round of 16, Inter who went on to the final. So I don't think with 3 points and a very narrow defeat to Barcelona, there'll be any panic whatsoever. As I mentioned, there were a couple of decisions that, while correct, were, you know, know, slim margins against Porto. That big chance for Pepe when he was really well played in by Taremi, and he just took a fraction too long perhaps to get his shot away and was denied by a superb recovery challenge. Once or twice in the first half they passed their way through Barcelona, and they did cause them problems. They didn't quite get the 100% chance. Koundé's recovery challenge sort of that. But they were very good on the night, and of course the Dragao's a wonderful atmosphere. And they've had one or two players out injured as well. Evan Nielsen was coming back a bit tonight, having come on in the second half, still missing two centre-backs as well. So there'll be no sense of panic for Porto. I still think they'll back themselves wholeheartedly to reach the knockout phase again.
The other game in this group, by the way, was full of drama as well. One of the early kickoffs, Royal Antwerp playing their first ever home game in the Champions League. They were 2-0 up in roughly 33 minutes against Shakhtar Donetsk. Muya and Balikwisser with the goals there. They were completely on top against the Ukrainian side. But Shakhtar came back flying in the second half. Early goal, Danilo Seacamp pouncing on an error. Rakitsky levelled with a free kick that got a big deflection, 2-2. And then when the goalkeeper tried to keep the ball in play for Antwerp, he actually knocked it into the path of a Shakhtar player for a tap-in for Seacamp to make it 3-2. But the real drama, deep into added time, Toby Alderweireld, club captain, club legend, Champions League runner-up, stepped up for a penalty and rolled it wide. It would have got Antwerp their first Champions League point, but he skewed it wide. Antwerp host Porto next in this competition. Barcelona take on Shakhtar on match day 3. And the standings like this: Barca 6 points, Porto, Shakhtar 3, Antwerp yet to get up and running. In the east of Germany, in Group G, RB Leipzig were beaten 3-1 at home by Manchester City. Let's hear from two of City's young stars who had a big impact tonight. They combined for the first goal, assisted by Rico Lewis, scored by Phil Foden.
Obviously, it was a tough game that we came last year. A bit of a similar scenario. We dominated the first half 1-0, and then second half, they come out and score. So it was important that we maintained our focus, you know, after the two poor results previously. We needed a win today, and you know, we showed the character that we showed last season.
Yeah, I thought the team played brilliant today. We controlled the game throughout. We know Leipzig's quality on the counter-attack, so we tried to not make a crazy game today. Tried to just keep the ball a lot more and no sloppy turnovers, because we know they're fast on the attack and they like to attack straight away. So I thought we controlled the game really well, and I'm happy with the team performance.
Yeah, Phil Foden speaking second there, Rico Lewis first, and a big win for Manchester City. They went ahead through Phil Foden's goal on 25 minutes. Loisa Pendes got a brilliant equaliser, worked a 1-2 with Xavi Simons on the halfway line, and then raced through one-on-one to fire it past Edison. But Julian Alvarez bent one into the corner on 84 minutes from the edge of the box, 2-1, and then with the game stretched, Doku on the counter-attack, his first Champions League goal for City, made it 3-1 in the second additional minute. Let's hear from head coach Pep Guardiola, full of praise for Rico Lewis's performance.
Look, it's difficult for me to say. At 18 years old, I've been manager for an incredible top players. To find a player to play in the middle, in the pockets, better than him, is difficult to find it in my period. So he's an extraordinary player, playing a holding midfielder, attacking midfielder, even the fullback coming inside or fullback outside. Because he's good, because he has a big quality. He understands in every action what's happened. Normally today, the players were educated, you have to do this, you have to do that. But to do that, it depends on many things. For the opponents, your mates, the ball comes there, and always his decisions are outstanding. So he didn't play much so far, but I know we can rely on him. Last season helped us a lot, and this season is going to help us too.
When I see the ball.
Rico Lewis, the subject of Pep Guardiola's interview after the game. He's only 18, and it's, you sort of forget, generally, a little bit how young this team is, with Foden, Alvarez only 23, Doku in his early 20s, what they're doing right now in the Champions League.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it with Foden, haven't we? Foden, Pep wants him there, didn't want to send him out on loan. He wanted him to be in the environment every day with world-class players, and we've seen the player that Foden's turned into, and the trophies he's won at such a young age as well. Yeah. So I have no... I mean, this is a similar situation with Rico. He's obviously got faith in him. He's started him over very experienced players, and now getting to experience, you know, big nights like Champions League football at such a young age. I think being in that environment at every every single day is priceless for players like this. They've obviously got an unreal talent. So, you know, and they're breeding and they're soaking everything up in and around them. And Pep's great with the young talent, and it's a great night. And it's great to see these kids doing their thing on the biggest stage.
They make me feel old. There are just so many talented young players out there at the moment. City with a 3-1 win at Leipzig. So City top of the group, defending champions, 6 points out of six. Leipzig 3. And Young Boys and Crvena Zvezda with a point each after they played a thrilling game in Belgrade. Crvena Zvezda took the lead. Sheriff and Dai meeting a low cross. 10 minutes before half time to make it 1-0. Filip Ogrinić levelled the game just after the break, and a Cedric Itten penalty had put them ahead for 2-1. But Bakariu scored at Man City, you may remember, on match day one amongst the goals again with a thumping effort in the 88th minute. So much late drama on match day two to make it Crvena Zvezda 2, Young Boys 2. So match day three, Leipzig host the champions of Serbia, Manchester City go to Young Boys. We have to wait 3 weeks now for the Champions League to return, but as Jack Winstanley can tell us, it will be worth the wait.
The Champions League returns in style on Tuesday, the 24th of October.
Today, two fabulous goals. Galatasaray have come back from the brink.
The Bayern fans urging them on. Kane back to Zane. He will hit it here! And he will score!
Galatasaray host Bayern in Istanbul in one of two early matches. Inter against Salzburg should be entertaining as well. Later that night, there could be some brotherly love at Old Trafford.
The shot is deflected home, and Rasmus Højlund has scored his first goal for Manchester United.
Oscar Højlund is ready to come on. It's Elianoussi scored the first goal. He's going off.
Rasmus Højlund was Manchester United's big money summer signing. His twin brothers Oscar and Emil are in town in 3 weeks' time with Copenhagen. Braga against Real Madrid looks intriguing as well. Whilst on Wednesday, the 25th of October, there are eight more matches to look forward to.
Brilliant ball in, wonderful header. Oh, Lewandowski again. 3-3. Lewandowski in stoppage time with another equalising goal.
Well, here's a ball from Mudrik, who's in behind Juranovic for the first time tonight and scores quite brilliantly. The first time Shakhtar have got in, they've scored.
Shakhtar shocked Barcelona 15 years ago when they went to Spain and won. What chance of a repeat in 2023? Expect wonderful atmospheres in Glasgow and Rotterdam when Celtic face Atletico and Feyenoord host Lazio respectively, whilst the Parc de Princes will be the setting for a serious showdown in Group F.
Here comes Kylian Mbappe and scores the first Champions League goal of this new Paris Saint-Germain era. Is scored by a man from the previous era, Kylian Mbappe.
Will Paris sparkle at home when they host Milan, or can the seven-time winners upset the French champions? We'll have the whole game live right here on the show. Matchday Live is on air from 6 p.m. CEST on both Tuesday the 24th and Wednesday the 25th of October. Tune in as this season's group stage reaches the halfway point.
Jack Winstanley there helping us look ahead already to match day three in the UEFA Champions League and all the thrilling games that we've got on the horizon. And in truth, really, it's this Newcastle, Paris, Milan, Dortmund group that is just absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? Dortmund go to Newcastle on match day three, host them on match day four. Paris host AC Milan next in the competition. Let's hear from Newcastle's manager now, Eddie Howe, proud of his team's performance.
Such a good team that we had to defend really well. We did. Thought collectively we were, our spirit and our energy was excellent. Thought we created the positive things that we had in the first half from really aggressive pressing, everything that's a hallmark of us when we play well. And then second half, we had to dig deep and try and get over the line.
Well, he won't be, you know, counting his chickens right now, will he, Eddie Howe, in terms of getting out of this group. But I have to ask you guys, Mike and Jenna, do you think Newcastle now believe they can get out of this really tough group?
100%. I think after tonight's performance, I think they've got... It's theirs to lose now, not to get out of the group. I think they've still got two games at St James's Park, and if the atmosphere and performances like that, I can't see them dropping any points there.
If they can recreate tonight again in 3 weeks' time against Dortmund, why not? why not? They could be through.
I mean, you'd be looking at it, three home wins, and they've already got a point on the road. 10 gets you out of a group, doesn't it, in the UEFA Champions League. OK, Mike, Jenna, thank you so much for your company. Great work. And Richard, to you too, watching Barcelona's win at Porto. That's all we have time for. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to join us from 6 p.m. CEST every Champions League match night for live commentary, interviews and analysis from the group stage. And we will be back on Tuesday, the 24th of October, for match day 3 of this season's competition. And remember to download our podcast shortly after every single match night via your favourite provider. From me and the rest of the team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.